Sinofresh today. It works.
Here we go again, the U.S. with a new nuclear strategy. Tiger Woods flat out talking about infidelity. Where was he doing it? Well, not the infidelity, but he was at the Masters and he was talking to a group of reporters after a practice round. Rest assured that will quell the conversation, as he couldn't be in a more pristine place of pure golf with so many people to shield him at Augusta. Now, there were people yelling things out, but it was mostly great to see you back, Tiger Woods. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, the name of the show is America Tonight. If you just were fooling around with the dial and you happen to get locked onto the station, we hope you hang around. It's the best water cooler buzz, we think, for your buck. Which is free, right? So that's a good thing. Unlike satellite that you have to pay for once you get your car, you know that whole deal. Sadly, we have awful news. The death toll for Monday's mine explosion in West Virginia has now risen to 25. It's expected this methane gas explosion, well, it was that. But what caused it could just be one of those sparks, and that's typically what might happen. There could be some survivors, as gear to breathe oxygen was picked up in an area of the mine. Maybe four people come out of this tragedy, but lots of loss of life. The worst, one of the worst in U.S. history. You have to go back to the 80s, in fact, to top that. But horrible news for the people there. Even though this is something that miners live with, their families live with, usually there's a very proud history that generations and generations have worked in the mines, but it's always a surprise to the loved ones and, frankly, the owners of the mine and everybody else when something awful happens. Something awful happened in the NCAA tournament. I'm sorry. I was pulling for the underdog. The champ I wanted to anoint, no offense to Duke, was Butler. This improbable school on a crazy wild ride through the tourney with a chance to win pretty much in front of the home crowd almost did it, but it came down to the wire, and in the end, it was the Blue Devils. What did it sound like? We got some clips.
Everything and more.
Yep.
And Shire count the basket. Hayward behind the back, gives it up to Howard, and it bounces in.
Let's get a good shot.
That's a good shot right there. Howard again on the inside. Pitch down to one.
Maybe screening and catching the pass.
Well, there it is, out to Hayward. Singler defending. 10 seconds to go. He wants to drive behind the back. On the baseline. Fadeaway shot. Off the rim into Zubac's hands. 3.6 seconds.
Well done. Good shot for your best player.
I'm going to try. It's Hayward pulling it down. Getting around. Zubac at midcourt launches the shot. Oh, almost went in. Almost went in. And Duke is the king of the dance. 2010.
Yeah, they were the king of the dance, as you heard there. And Gordon Hayward's half-court kind of Hail Mary, and it was a Hail Mary, almost gave them what they needed. But it wasn't enough, so it was a classic finish, however. And if you spent any time watching this game, there were 70,000-plus that were there watching in Indianapolis, and so many other eyes, I'm sure, on the tube, particularly when the word casino college basketball drags on forever with all the breaks, and 2 minutes seems like can seem like an eternity. So a lot of people, I would believe, would jump into this. The Blue Devils end up winning 61-59. It's the fourth title for Duke coach Mike Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski. And, you know, it's not – Duke is used to competing, and Duke is used to having the possibility of winning these things. But I believe a lot of people were pulling for little old Butler, just a small, small school. As I mentioned, kind of an improbable run, not the big Tobacco Road school. And the fact that they were able to get as far as they did and act like they belonged there and almost pull off the win good for the folks at Butler and what they have now done to highlight, I think, this program certainly. And I believe that's what they've done. Maybe more people would take a look at the school. The team played so well together, and that's part of it. It shows you what a team sport is all about. And a tip of the cap to Duke and to Butler as well. I mentioned the nuke strategy, so I'm going to jump into that right here at the top as we kind of scatter shoot. I kind of feel like, you know, today was opening day in baseball. You get the people, some ballparks allow it, some don't, where they have the shooters. They go out there, they have those, like, guns that shoot the T-shirts. People are always trying to grab them. Somebody got hurt somewhere once, and I thought that they were stopping him, but I guess it goes from ballpark to ballpark. But anyway, we're doing that scatter shoot thing. Think of me as the person with the T-shirts. So, in this case, this is serious stuff. The U.S. is saying, this particular administration, that they're going to square off the development of new generations of nukes and reduce a lot reliance on using them in a kind of a overhaul of nuclear strategy. The administration is altering, what they're going to do is they're going to review and then alter decades of our policy to provide an incentive for countries to stay within the rules of the 1968 Non-Proliferation Treaty. That's what they're doing. The focus pretty much is isolating countries that are throwing it in everybody's face about their obligations under the, you know, flouting it. So we'll hear about more specifics later on Tuesday, and this is just a couple of days before signing a new nuclear arms treaty with Russia that reduces both their missile stockpiles and ours. So this strategy, the whole idea is let's stop the spread of nukes, and the problem is, and really the real underlying fear, I think, is what's going to happen with terrorists. And how about terrorists using nukes? I would have to think that has to be the top priority in the nuclear agenda for the United States, because the idea that someone who could care less about life gets their hands on a nuclear warhead and they have the potential of lobbing one, that's the scariest thing possible, which is, to me, he is definitely like a terrorist, Ahmadinejad, and what's his threats in Iran you have to take seriously. It's frightening, the possibilities of what he could ultimately do. Currently, by the way, the U.S. nuclear stockpile is at this. Check these numbers out. 5,200 nuclear bombs, and that includes 2,200 operational long-range strategic weapons. Now, there are seven other nations: Britain, France, Russia, China, India, Pakistan, North Korea, that are declared, what they say, you know, we know, they're declared nuclear powers. Israel, pretty much on the QT, everybody believes they've developed nuclear weapons, but they've never really declared that publicly. But I cannot believe they wouldn't have them, and it's thought that they do have nuclear weapons. So my question, with talking about all what the strategy is and changing the strategy and all this other sort of stuff, is what to do about Iran? What truly is going to happen with Iran? Politics on the flip side, the politics of money on the flip side here on ATN.
Times are tough, and you got to stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties, just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions. You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase. Doobly will give you an instant 20%. $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher, usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoobleeShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleeShoppers.com. That's DoobleeShoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
People could use a dollar. That song, by the way, might be familiar to some of you if you're kind of a little bit hip and you're into some of the cable shows. How to Make It in America. You hear that if you watch How to Make It in America, one of my favorite new shows. That is very, very good. I just watched the finale of How to Make It in America. If you're looking for something decent to watch where, you know, you go back and you watch all of the episodes, I would highly recommend it. But the song works for what we're talking about here, and we're talking about that very thing, money, money, money. And what is going on? And part of the Sunday Swirl, Larry Summers, who is, chief economic guru for Barack Obama, for the president, was on one of the Sunday shows and was asked a lot about creating new jobs and why aren't companies creating new jobs, and here's what he said.
They're starting to. We're in a very different place than we were a year ago. A year ago we were losing 600,000 jobs a month. Now the process of job creation has started. We expect that it will accelerate. But we've got to do more to make sure that there's demand in this economy that will create more jobs. We are in no position to rest or to be complacent just because of this jobs report. That's why the president thought it was so important to sign into law the incentive program 2 weeks ago that allows the waiver of payroll taxes for companies that hire an unemployed person. That's why the president is pushing for spending on new construction projects, new infrastructure projects. That's why we've got to focus particularly on small business at this point. You know, if you look at the data, the situation with large businesses is serious. but the situation in small business is devastating. That's why the president put forth proposals in December and wants to see Congress act on his measures to increase the flow of credit to small business. That's why it's so important that we're seeing a big increase, more than 10%, in the tax refunds that Americans are getting this April, which will put them in a position to spend more and start that process of job creation. That's why it's so important to have passed health insurance, which is going to give a tax credit that's actually retroactive to January to small businesses. We've got to do everything we can to provide the incentives to create the framework for more job creation in this economy. We cannot rest where we are.
All right, and along those same lines of talking about where we can't rest where we are and blah, 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 all the nonsense spin. I mean, he could have just said, yeah, we're really screwed with especially in these small companies and trying to create jobs. What about the reaction to the negative job growth period? The numbers are not good, and it's pretty tough to spin that, isn't it, Larry?
The numbers fluctuate from month to month, and no good business runs itself based on every weekly or monthly fluctuation. And the president's focus is on building a stronger economy so we don't have debacles like the last couple of years again.
So there might be some
deaths. But my expectation would be that the trend is going to be upwards. We talk a great deal to businesses. We monitor all the statistics, and the steps that the president is taking should bring about an increased level of employment. But look, we don't have enough in place. That's why the president has put forward measures to the Congress for the credit for small business, for incentives that will let people spend money and put people to work, retrofitting their homes to make them more energy efficient, to preserve jobs on the front lines for teachers and for policemen. What happens will depend on choices we make, and there is much more that we can do, and the president is pushing for the adoption of those measures, even as we focus on implementing and continuing to implement the strong set of measures in the President's Recovery Act.
It's interesting. You look at offices and how vacant they are. I just saw not too far from where I live a strip mall in a good, you know, in a decent area where it used to always be full. One store left. And then there's offices that were behind it. And they're saying now that office vacancy rates are at their highest level in 16 years, about 700 million square feet. Or more than 4 billion of available office space nationwide is unoccupied as of the end of March. You know why? Because if in some of these small businesses, what's happened, the businesses go down, or they've cut back on so many people that work in the businesses, they move the business to the home. The city of Detroit, hands down the worst. They have the highest office vacancy rate, period. We know what happened with the auto industry went in the crapper, and a quarter of all their office space is just completely empty. You're lucky if it's not boarded over. It's very, very sad what has happened to Detroit and even some of the surrounding areas in Michigan, without a doubt. In the meantime, you know, it's infuriating when you talk about bonuses and executive pay, and I just saw a list that was released on the top CEO's pay. Now, hey, I'm a capitalist. If somebody earns it and they're making money for the company and, you know, they're playing fair, then they should be able to get what would be equal. The problem is you had these fat cats who also were still part of the bailout that were making incredible, incredible money. And did they really deserve it? What's interesting, in the 10 highest paid CEOs, and this isn't a surprise, and of course Oracle is, I mean, they bust out all records. The CEO of Oracle, $84.5 million. Yeah. Now, a lot of that is in stock and options, and the cash is much lower than that. But, boy, the last couple of years have been huge for Larry Ellison. He's not necessarily one of the bad guys, however. There are bad guys where they need to regulate what's happening with them. Ken Feinberg, the White House pay czar, is regulating TARP, and he talked about executive pay on one of the shows.
No, GM is included because right now I have jurisdiction over the five companies under the federal law that took the most TARP money. So that's GM and Chrysler, GMAC, Chrysler Financial, and AIG. Bank of America and Citigroup repaid their entire obligation under the law. They are out from under my jurisdiction. Well, that's right. It is a challenge. But I think that when you look at what I'm doing with five companies actually calculating their pay for the top officials, and you add to that regulatory reform, corporate governance reform for shareholders, the G20 principles of Secretary Geithner to make sure that foreign companies don't have an advantage over American companies when it comes to pay, these are a whole list, a menu that together, I think, effectively reins in excessive pay.
Well, they effectively need to rein in excessive pay, particularly when you and I are responsible for the, too big to fail. Is that not the worst ever tagline in the history of why we should do something? Too big to fail? Please. All right, a quick follow-up here, because we talked about it a ton last week. The Vatican still with closed eyes. However, an Indian priest accused of assaulting a Minnesota girl in 2004, the Vatican is backing the extradition of this guy. They're cooperating with those in our government, law enforcement types, to do this. He was charged with sexually assaulting a 14-year-old. And this is a good thing. Finally, they've lifted the veil because he was still working. So going after at least one of the bad guys is a decent sign. Other than that, you know, the closed eyes is infuriating so many people. They need to expose the bad guys. Just get rid of them. That's what has to happen in the future. So the church was alerted to the accusations of, against this one priest about 3 years ago. They didn't respond to it. They didn't do anything. And now they're cooperating. And the Vatican keeps insisting that Pope Benedict takes the accusation seriously and cracked down on abuse in 2001 by ordering the diocese to inform the Vatican of all the cases. But they haven't issued any kind of guidelines or anything that happens with the civil cases. So in a nutshell, it's kind of empty rhetoric at this point. Now with this pressure, maybe things will change, and that's a good thing. Coming up on the flip side, how to cut a good deal when you're like shopping for cars and need to return things. You won't want to miss that conversation. That's next on America Tonight.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
As the economy continues to decline, patriots across the nation are preparing for the worst. The world is changing fast. Are you fully? Or will you be forced to eat government soup? At patriotfood.com, We offer you 135 pounds of dehydrated food and six varieties of canned meat for half price. And at SurvivalistSeeds.com, we now offer 50 non-GMO varieties of vegetables and over 10,000 heirloom seeds. That's twice as many as our competition for the same price. PatriotFood.com and SurvivalistSeeds.com. Food insurance, just in case. Owned by me, Big John Lipscomb.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
The mighty Roman soldier was given a daily ration of fermented fish oil. The stoic Scandinavian Viking had a drum of fermenting cod livers outside the door of his home. And Grandma always had cod liver oil in the cupboard. Today, Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality, nutrient-dense cod and other fish liver oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, through fermentation. Cold-fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture's products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. Receive a 20% discount off your first order at greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code radio at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good for a limited time. Call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818 or go to greenpasture.org today.
You know, it was Donald Trump that wrote that book, I want to say 2 decades ago, called The Art of the Deal, and it is about knowing how to negotiate. Even like I said before, whether it's getting that new Toyota, since it's 0%, and they throw in a leprechaun and free candy for a year because they want people to still drive Toyotas. No, I'm just kidding. That would probably be an easy deal to close. But the car dealership is a good example. A lot of people get nervous, even though they have all this bravado and talk big. They really melt once they get spun by somebody who's really good at selling them something. So, on the show, Andrea Sittig-Rolf joins us. She is what she calls the chief blitzmaster and CEO of her own company. Hey, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So the car analogy, the car analogy is a really a good one, or using that as the example. A lot of people, especially they always say women, blow it. What is the trick to getting the number that you want to pay for the car? What is it that you want to avoid, and what do you want to do when you go into a dealership?
Well, first of all, you really need to do your research. You need to find out what the market price is for the vehicle that you're interested in. And not just the, if you're interested in Toyota, I don't know why you would be right now, but, don't just look at, Honda and some of those other competing brands, but also look at the dealerships of that same manufacturer in your area, because sometimes prices will vary based on the particular area, and just know sort of what that market value is. And one of the things I think that can work well is once you kind of have that ballpark in mind, you go in, you sit down with the salesperson, and you basically tell them the price at which you are a customer. So in other words, at any other price, I'm not a customer, but at this price, I am.
Right, and then just stick by that, and if they won't give it to you, walk, right?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to be able to walk away, and most of the time they'll follow you out the door. They'll be like, wait.
Oh, especially car dealers.
What's that?
Especially dealers, you know, guys that are salesmen on the lot. And now, because they've gone through the highs and lows of selling cars, depending on what they're selling, and there's less people, too, on the lot. Now, actually, is probably a good time to get a car. If you need a car, probably you can find some pretty decent deals and cut yourself a good deal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a buyer's market right now, and I would say that's true for just about any sort of high-end product or any type of high-priced product right now. You definitely are going to have room to negotiate. People are motivated to sell right now, although that is changing. So, you know, we have a finite amount of time, I think, that we are actually able to negotiate in this economic climate, the way it is now, just because people are motivated to sell and they're willing to make a deal.
Yeah. What about when you feel like you get hosed and you get something and then it doesn't work right, it's not what you want? There are a lot of people like my mother, I don't understand this, because she's not a wilting flower. I'm telling you, she will not return anything, and I can't believe it. It's like, hey, if this isn't good, you need to return it. You have the receipt. You can certainly do that, right? I mean, this is a good time to do that, too, because you can take whatever it is back and, I'm sure, get your money back or even a better deal sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially if you have the receipt. I mean, there's just no question. And I think there's something with women, I don't know what it is, but we're sort of afraid to ask for what we want. You know, somehow we've been told that that's wrong and, you know, you don't want to do that. And, God, especially if you get something, you pay good money for it and it doesn't work, I can't imagine not going back and, you know, and asking for a return or worst case scenario, an exchange. But, you know, and the other thing is, too, you want to sort of kill them with kindness. You want to be really nice about it. You want to be polite, saying things like, gosh, I wonder if you can help me out. You know, you don't want to be a jerk. I mean, this is the thing that always surprises me when people are dissatisfied with a product they've bought and then they go in and they're a jerk about it. And what they forget is that other person that you're dealing with has all the power. They have all the power to decide if they're going to help you or not. And so if you're a jerk, they're not going to be very motivated to help. So you want to be really nice and maybe even put them in a position where they sort of feel sorry for you and they want to help you.
Yeah, you probably would say this. I think part of the problem is people get stressed out and they have a time crunch. So if you're going to be in that position, like you say, be nice, you probably have to have time to deal with somebody, whether it's on the phone or going to see them. I've seen that. I've seen where somebody explodes, and I think actually they're in the right, but it's like they're in that time crunch, and they want the solution right away. I'm impatient.
Yeah.
I need this right now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's you as the consumer who are deciding the time that you're going to deal with it. So you're absolutely right. That means that you need to choose a time when you have the time, because sometimes it doesn't happen as quickly as you'd like. And if you're more patient because you've got more time, then it's just going to go better overall.
What about threatening to leave and go to another company? For example, there are a lot of problems with phones, a lot of problems with either service or being overcharged or whatever. What about if, and you don't have to be mean about it, but what if you say, listen, I've been on dealing with this for however long, maybe I need to cut a better deal with somebody else or go to a different company. Does that work, do you think?
Yeah, I think that can work. I think it's better if, especially if you have a deal in hand. You know, we're always getting bombarded with, mail solicitations, you know, stuff that comes in the mail, and like with credit cards, for example.
Yeah.
And actually, that's another thing. That this is a time when you can actually, I think, negotiate better credit card rates because you're getting all these offers in the mail, and you can call your existing credit card company, for example, and say, you know, this credit card is offering, you know, such and such a rate, and I'm thinking of switching, and, you know, what can you do for me, kind of a thing. But again, I think you want to be nice about it, but you need to kind of be able to back up what you're saying. And one of the things that bugs me about some of these deals that they offer to consumers is so often they offer this great deal to lure a new consumer to that product, whether it be a cell phone or whatever. And meanwhile, you've been a loyal customer for 10 years, you know, and you think, hello, I'm the loyal customer. Why are you giving this deal to somebody else who's never used you before? I'm the one that should be getting the deal.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's so true. You see that, like whatever it is, like cable, people getting new cable and this incredible service or whatever, and you can't believe it. But I think the key thing is that we started to say here is, do you think this is right, Andre, that it's a buyer's market right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are two, what I would call sort of negotiation tactics, and this can work in retail stores. This can work in just about any scenario. One is what I call the silent treatment. And that is where, you know, you basically tell the person what you want and then you just are silent because that's sort of uncomfortable. And it's almost like whoever talks first loses.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
Let that other person sort of step up and make the deal. And then the other thing is ask for what you want.
Right, be direct. So if you want a better deal, like, listen, here's this is what I need to happen here, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes it really works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got a great example. I was in Manhattan I'm from Seattle, but I was in Manhattan on business in January. And I went into a high-end department store, not a flea market, not a garage sale, a retail store. And I found this $350 business suit that I just loved. And I just thought, it's kind of a game. I'm a sales professional. It's what I do. And I always like to kind of see, you know, what I can do on any given deal. So I put the $350 suit up at the counter, you know, in front of the clerk. And I said, is this on sale by any chance? And she says, well, no, it just came in yesterday. I said, oh, that's too bad. I said, you know, that's just a little bit more than I wanted to spend. And then I was just quiet. And it was a little uncomfortable. And I see her sort of looking over the sales floor, and I thought, you know what, she's probably looking for a manager to see if she can kind of work me a deal, wants to make sure she's not going to get in trouble first. And so she looks over and she goes, you know what, I bet you got this off the $200 rack. I'll just give it to you for $200. So I got a $350 suit for $200 just because I asked the question and I hesitated and kind of let her know I wasn't really going to be a customer at that $350 price.
Ooh, that's a good suggestion there. So if somebody wants to find more about how they could be a wheeler dealer, you have a website, don't you?
I do. The easiest one to remember is blitzexperience.com.
Okay, blitzexperience.com. Got it. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
You bet. It was fun.
Yeah, thank you. All right, so we're going to use some of those techniques. We're going to send Matt out, and we're going to send him out to, like, Lombardi's to get a suit. And we're going to see if it works. Matt, you're going to pick up, like, a $1,000 suit, and then I want you to go to the counter, and I want you to tell the guy, boy, this is just right here in my price range for $250. This is exactly the suit I was looking for, and I want to see what they say to you.
It could work. You never know.
She is right about that, though, about the silent thing, where she said that if you say what it is that you want and then you're silent. I mean, you and I have talked about this on the air, and people listening to America Tonight have heard this before. I've had so many problems with AT&T, with the iPhone thing, that and being jostled around from department to department. Eventually they just took things off bills and changed what I was getting, like took away texting, and I didn't have to pay some outrageous price for that. But it was their mistake, and they had jostled me around in so many different places, and I was actually pretty nice about it, that I think that that's maybe what changed it. I would definitely take the time that I spent on the phone, though, back versus what happened there. But the silent thing, she's right, if you do that with cars, and some of you are probably laughing your heads off driving down the highway, wherever it is you're listening to us, and saying, oh, come on, are you kidding me? You don't know how to do this. This is amateur stuff. But I'm really surprised by people who talk a big game, and then they can't come up with the goods for some reason. Maybe it's the person on the other end. They're that good, and they've spun you around so much that you feel like you can't dance, I guess. You can't dance with them on the floor well enough to stay up with them. And the next thing you know, you've gotten something you really, really, really,
you
really
don't
want.
You got to have the patience,
want.
Too. To
oh, that's
it
what I, that's it. It's the patience thing. That's what always gets me. You have to go and do these things when you have the time, or get on the phone when you have the time, because you're not going to get the desired results, I think. Anyway, that was kind of fun. Hey, coming up on the flip side, what about these governors getting these threatening letters? What's up with that? We'll talk about it here on ATN.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
Are you prepared, or are you hardcore prepared? Get hardcore equipped at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested with Canadian and U.S. forces, so we know it's tough. What kind of gear? Our own brands. Arctic Warrior, Homeland Defender, Sandbox Avenger, Urban Peacekeeper. More than 30,000 products, and 90% of it made in Canada and the U.S. See it all at TacTownGear.com. That's TACTownGear.com. Get 72-hour survival kits, Ultima boots, HW1 gloves, tactical link slings, EMA tactical weapon equipment, everything you need to be hardcore prepared. Deal with TacTownGear.com personnel with more than 25 years' experience in military and law enforcement. Call now, 418-844-9111. That's 418-844-9111. Or go to TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Solutions for your area of operation.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
Fly me to the moon, let me play your music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling.
All right, big announcement here in America tonight, and the announcement is we don't have a winner our last time around for Nail the Score. Boy, I was hoping we would be able to give somebody some big, fat prize, but it didn't happen. Yes. Remember, we had our games, our final showdowns with Michigan State and Butler and Duke and West Virginia, and nobody nailed the score on any of those games. How about it? So many of us picked West Virginia, too, by the way. A lot of us picked Butler, and Butler went on. But did Butler win the national title? We'll talk about that in a second. But before we do that, part of the Sunday swirl and what people were talking about on the political shows was this crazy deal with governors in, now they're saying really almost 30 states getting threatening letters to quit or else. Governor Herbert from Salt Lake, or from Utah, actually, was one of the governors, and here's what he had to say.
We take it serious here in Utah, and I know the FBI takes it serious. We do have threats that come occasionally, just kind of the nature of the work we're involved with. People get frustrated and probably many times just say things that they ought not. But we have a harmonious relationship here in Utah with all levels of government, whether it be the local government levels, city and county, or state department of safety, and the federal government. So they're working together on this. Well, I think the breadth of it, the fact that we've got people signing letters, petitioning, as it were, and giving us their names, gives you pause. Sometimes this is done anonymously, but the fact that these people have been brazen enough to sign their names to it probably is an exception. And the fact that it's in all 50 states, at least apparently going to all 50 states, is the breadth of it is quite unique with this organization. So I think that's the biggest difference.
All right, so, you know, that's an interesting thing. So you're a governor, and as Governor Herbert was saying, you get these letters, and there's threats that are often, you know, levied at various politicians. After all, we saw what happened on the Hill just a couple of weeks ago. But now you have a group that's sending very direct messages. They seem to be a little bit organized, and they're sending them to different governors, you know, threatening that basically you need to get out of the way and it's time for a change, et cetera, et cetera. So you wonder, what is going on? Is the frustration level that high? Is it that, I mean, are these just some nutballs, some extremists that have taken it, you know, to that same level, to that crazy level, instead of conversation that they've decided to say resign and get out of the way or, you know, watch out? And here's the thing, stupidly, with people doing that, they're only hurting their own cause. I don't think by threatening either the politicians in Washington, even though some of us feel like we want to strangle them for the nonsense that's happened and the logjam and the lack of producing results so often. I mean, it's the legislation moves like molasses, and then all of a sudden, whammo, it hits you in the head. Wow, we've been discussing this for however long. So the idea that by pulling no punches and sending threatening messages, I mean, and really organized stuff, threatening that to these governors, do they really think they're going to resign? And apparently that was the intended desired result, that they would resign and step aside. And it just, you know, it just doesn't work that way. What ends up happening is there's a knock on the door, an investigation, and somebody's going to get grilled, and who knows what kind of jail time you ultimately would get for that. So what have you really achieved? A couple of minutes of fame on the nightly news, perhaps on a couple of the talk shows, and that's it. Forgotten. Makes no sense. Speaking of making no sense, coming up later this week, we're going to talk with Nancy Manny, and she's written a book called My Billion Year Contract. But what's interesting about her, and I've been dying to have her on the show for a long time, is the fact that she worked in a Scientology office, you know, forever. She worked for the Scientology. She was a Scientologist for almost 30 years. I mean, she went through all the levels, worked with celebrities, worked with Ron L. Hubbard himself. And, you know, finally, she was questioned about her loyalty, and she was interrogated gruelingly, I guess. She ended up full-blown in an ambulance and in full restraints on her way to a hospital. So, you know, some crazy, crazy things have happened to people connected to Scientology, and boy, do they hustle to cover a lot of it up. And she'll expose some of that with us in a couple of days here on ATN. All right, we're going to expose this right now. This was a big deal because I already mentioned this. Nobody nailed the score, and that's too bad. We're going to have to do something else because I have some great prizes to still give away. It's, you know, ever-growing, this prize pack. But how about Duke just eking by Butler to win the national title? Oh, so disappointing. I mean, I have to say, I was one of those pulling for the underdog, and I really, really thought Butler was going to do it. And here they were in front of the home crowd and in Indianapolis, and that would have been that Cinderella story. And Duke won. And what was the final score? 61-59. Oh, did you want that? Was that not a heartbreaker? It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I was watching that game live, and I was pulling for Butler so hard because I just absolutely can't stand Duke. They came so close. They even got the shot off at the end.
I know.
And they
half
couldn't
court.
They couldn't put it in the bucket, and it was so close.
And you can almost feel the air coming out of there, too. There's like 70,000 people plus watching. And, you know, hey, it was a 25-game win streak for Butler going into this. And the Blue Devils did it, though. I mean, this is, you know, national title for them, another one. And they certainly played well. I mean, this was a good game. It was a good game to watch. It was a close game. If you wanted an epic finish, you definitely got an epic finish in this case. And, you know, here was this tiny, you know, Butler. You think of Butler. What do you know about Butler? Butler is a private school. 4,200 students. Are you thinking that this team is going to go all the way to the end? And if they had won it, I mean, like I said, what a Cinderella story that would have been. What a story. It still was a story that they got as far as they did and how they played ultimately the final game. And, you know, they ended up, they had a great chance to win it. And, you know, just unfortunately, they didn't hit that last shot. And they had a 5-point deficit to shave it all the way down. And like I said, they had the chance to clinch this. And for such a tiny school, I mean, this really goes down as, I think, is one of the most epic battles, because it really was. I mean, Duke is loaded on all cylinders. Duke is the big giant school with a big name and Coach Krzyzewski and the history of winning the tournaments in the past. And, you know, now what a memorable moment in time for this tiny, tiny place on the map. Epic. You gotta love this. It just shows that you can rise up, even coming out of nowhere. And now they're talking about the NCAA going ahead to probably, well, and I don't know when they'll do it. Maybe they'll wait. They won't be able to do it next year, but they're talking about doing an expansion to 96 teams. Ooh, 96 teams. And money talks. And a lot of people watch the tournament. A lot of people are, you know, doing the bracket thing. And look, we did nail the score here. And lots of people called up to just take those random guesses. Some of them college hoop fans, and some of them, you know, probably not. So in the end, the Blue Devils, tip of the cap to them. They won. They certainly won with their defense, and they were able to hold the Bulldogs off. In fact, they held them to 34% shooting. So congratulations to the Duke Blue Devils, as they are national champions once again. Ugh, too bad for those boys from Butler. All right, I'm going to leave you with this one from Frank Clark, who said, how funny a dollar can look, and why does it look so big when you take it to church and so small when you take it to the store? That kind of goes along with negotiating, doesn't it?
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?